Ulama-e-Kiram, most respected brothers, and all those who are listening over Radio Al-Ansar, all our brothers and sisters. Another Mubarak day of Eid, we have gathered here in such comfort. Absolutely no problem. We have all had our ghusl and the different kinds of soaps that are made available for us. And we have worn our good clothes and we have arrived at the Eidgah. Now this is something I've been mentioning on previous occasions too, that at such a time we should not forget those areas which have been struck by disasters. How many thousands of them are under the rubble? So many hundreds of thousands are homeless. So many of them no food, no drink, no accommodation even on this Mubarak day of Eid. The whole month of Ramadan went waiting for somebody to arrive with some kind of assistance and help. We cannot understand the plight and the suffering of these people. It is only those who have been through it, they can understand. Those people who have experienced the floods we had here in South Africa, and those people who have experienced the other disasters of other areas, so they are aware of what the suffering is like. So at such a time, it does not mean that we must not celebrate Eid. Celebration of Eid will continue, but at the same time, we should not forget to at least make dua for them. We should assist and help them in whichever way possible, but if not, then at least feel that pain and that suffering that they are experiencing, irrespective of who it is, where they may be. But the suffering of anybody should be our suffering. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has been very, very kind to us. He blessed us with this Mubarak day. And as I said, that we have had no problem in arriving here. And we are not going through that kind of suffering and hardship and difficulties that those people are going through. We must make plenty of shukr over this ni'mat. Ni'mats can be snatched and seized and taken away when people are indulging in sinful activities, vices, evils. When the people are ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala, they are showing ingratitude to Allah Ta'ala for His bounties and His ni'mats, using the bounties and ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala in places which are displeasing to Him, then we are on danger level, danger zone. It can be snatched away any time, we don't know when. Allah Ta'ala must protect us and protect the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala must give hidayah to the entire mankind. Nevertheless, to this Mubarak day of Eid, instead of giving a bayan, a waz, and a speech, what came to mind is that I should rather give you two or three points or a few points which we should take into consideration. We are always gathering and listening and listening and listening, but it seems that we are just listening for the sake of entertainment, that it is not with the niyat of amal and practice. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fact, some of them actually asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that give some nasihat, give some advice, but let it be very concise, very brief. Now they were requesting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to give nasihat, advice, but it must be very concise, very brief. Yet if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had spoken the whole day and night, or had continued for days on end too, every word that would have come out of his Mubarak mouth would have been a pearl of wisdom and of hidayat for mankind. But yet they are requesting that it must be concise, brief. Why? Because they were not interested in just listening. They were interested in making amal on whatever nasihat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to them. So my respected brothers and our sisters listening over the air, the first thing that comes to mind is that the first verse of the Qur'an Sharif was Iqra. There's no doubt about that, that was the first verse. We cannot go into any details, but every little child who has done some kind of Islamic history is aware of the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was in the cave of Hira, as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole story is related in Bukhari Sharif and other hadith kitabs. And then finally he said Iqra, So he said, what must I read? He said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And he continued. Now I'm not going into any details, but every little child knows this, that this is what happened. In fact, this is one of the things that I always mention in the Hajj bayans that I give, that the government of Saudi Arabia may have destroyed a lot of relics and lots of things that were of significance and of attachment to the Muslim Ummah because of its attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But up till now, they have not been able to touch the cave of Hira, where the first verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed. Allah Ta'ala made it such that He placed it right on top of that mountain. And everything else may have changed, or so many other things have changed. But up till today, a person can go up that mountain, go into that cave, and he can take 1 billion qasam and say that my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years ago, he sat in this very cave. That is the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the first verse of the Quran Sharif where it was revealed, it has been protected in such a manner. And may Allah ta'ala keep it like that. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first verse that was revealed was Iqra. And this is something that we have to now inculcate. On this day of Eid, we should make a few pledges and promises and make a few decisions in our life now. Far too long we have been listening. Iqra now doesn't mean when we say that we must start reading, then say, yes, Maulana, you said we must start reading, so we have started reading. What have you started reading? The back pages of the Sunday Times. So is that what we said must start reading? So start reading, so they brought in all the novels, the filthy literature, the filthy magazines, and said, so we started reading. Now that was not what we are talking about, to start reading. Start reading means start reading and learning about what Islam is, what Deen is, what Sharia is, what the Quran is, what the Sunnah is. We must make up our minds that we want to start learning now. Most of our differences and arguments and problems that arise is because of our lack of knowledge from the source. Unfortunately, and today I'm just giving a few things that have come to mind. Unfortunately, we are basing all our knowledge now on some literature that has been published, some brochure that has been published, or some kind of magazine that is distributed, or some kind of poster that we see somewhere, or something that we have read somewhere casually. We consider that now as deen, without verifying that it is the Quran and Sunnah or not. We are unconcerned. As long as we read it somewhere, then it is deen. And then we start arguing with people, but I read it here, I read it there. But first of all, we have to verify. We have to check the authenticity of those risalas, of those magazines, of those papers, of those articles. Who has written those articles? At present, there are such large number of articles on the internet sites. Everything says Islam, Islam, Islam. I was mentioning in Stanger that when we came to Surah Yusuf, then I mentioned there that this Surah Yusuf, it was intended to bring taqwa into the hearts of the people. That when you are tempted, when you are seduced, when you are invited towards sin, then at that time follow the practical example of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Run from there. Don't just stand there and make dua also. Run towards the door. In other words, those doors that were locked, when he ran towards the doors, which was within his power, Allah Ta'ala caused the doors to open. So, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But what I was saying is that very story of the Quran Sharif, which Allah Ta'ala described in great detail, and it was intended to create the taqwa in the hearts of the readers, that in the life of a Muslim you could be faced with such kind of problems. There could be jealousy, there could be seduction, there could be so many other things that have been mentioned in that surah, where can we go into details. So at that time, what must you do? You must follow the practical example of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after all those tests and trials, to what position Allah ta'ala raised him. That he was then the ruler of Egypt. And those very brothers who were jealous and had put him into the well, now they had come to him and asked for forgiveness. So this was a lesson. And instead, what did we do? That some Muslims changed that same story into a novel. Exactly the same Quranic story. It is changed into a novel. Don't read that. I don't want to give you the name because everybody will get interested in reading it. But it is in Urdu. So the person has written the same story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And he has written it like a novel, how we write a romantic novel. In other words, if you have to read it, there is so much of encouragement that the person is given towards this kind of sin. That very sin of zina from which this surah was supposed to prevent. Now reading this novel, it is encouraging that same zina. So now will we say that it is Islamic literature? So now will we say that is Islamic literature? So in the same way, there's so many other articles. They are being written by Orientalists. They are being written by those who are disbelievers in Islam. They are written by Jews. They are written by Christians. And they are given Islamic titles. And we are just falling hook, line and sinker. So therefore, get down to some basic studies. Iqra, now start reading. We don't say you mustn't read the literature that is available with regards to your profession. That is why I always tell to the brothers, to those whose children are doing engineering, they're doing science, they're becoming pilots, or they're becoming something else in some other profession, medical science they're doing. Then at that time we say, provide for them as much books as you can. There's no problem in it. In their line, in their profession, whatever books they require, give it to them. Let them read. At least keep them occupied. But what I'm getting at is that this Iqra, we just took it to read what? Novels, magazines, filthy literature, the back pages of Sunday Times, and these type of articles we read, and we say we are doing Iqra. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not the verse that was revealed upon him, what did Allah Ta'ala say? Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. So you can't take Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Rabb, out of that equation. We have to read in the name of that Rabb who is the creator. So now what does that Rabb expect of us? So this Ramadan, at least we should make up our minds that every day find some time. We have enough time to read so many things and to talk so many useless and futile things. At such a time, if we say that 1 hour a day or half an hour a day, we will take out to start studying the Quran Sharif. The first thing is the Quran Sharif. And there's plenty of authentic tafsirs that are now available. Before we would say that, well, we don't have authentic tafsirs. Now the authentic tafsirs that are available, tafsir available. At least start off with Ma'ariful Quran or Ruhul Bayan or something like that. But where there's an authentic tafsir, basic, simple language, easy to understand. So they read about the nations of the past. The whole Quran Sharif was a 30-para letter to the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and to mankind. It was Hudal lin Nas. وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَىٰ وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It was like a 30-para letter, how a father sends a letter to a son that is overseas somewhere, and he says that this is what I expect you to do. And when you return, if you have qualified, if you are successful, then I will give you the ABC. And if you are not successful, then you will not be getting anything, you will be deprived. Now if the son just says, no, I read all your nasihats, I read all your advices, and then I framed it up, what would we think of that son if he didn't practice on it? So the Quran Sharif, I'm just giving you some pointers. So the Quran Sharif, start learning. We are reading many, many kitabs of everyone that is written. Read them also, because that is from deduced from the Quran and Sunnah. But get to the source. Get an authentic kitab on the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And get one on fiqh and one on seerah. These four kitabs, if you read one page a day, then inshallah within a few years or within 1-2 years, the person will have sufficient knowledge to understand, to differentiate haq from batil, to differentiate truth from falsehood. After that, he will at least get the encouragement to start practicing. Then read the fazail kitabs and all other kitabs that are written. But that is one thing, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's kalam, we have done great injustice to it. We haven't made any study of the Quran Sharif. The second thing is this, that we all know that around the world, people are complaining, complaining and complaining. As I always say, that some people are complaining of oppression, some of suppression, some of depression, and some people who got caste, they say there's no compression. So there's different kind of complaints that we are getting. But at the same time, what we have to understand is that how much of suppression and oppression we have made. We always look at internationally what is happening, internationally, internationally. Indeed, the Muslim is an international person. A Muslim is not an individual person. He is an international person. Whatever happens anywhere in the world, then it concerns him. But sometimes Shaitan uses this international thing just to divert our attention from ourselves. He makes us forget ourselves and make us think of the injustices that are being perpetrated by the people around the globe. So there's no doubt about it that those people who are perpetrating that oppression and tyranny and suppression, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will punish them. Allah Ta'ala will bring about a change in those regimes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will bring about a change in those governments. That will happen. Those who suppress, they do not last very long. Allah Ta'ala gives them a bit of rope, but He definitely, most certainly, accepts the dua of those who are oppressed. So that is internationally happening. It's happening in Palestine, it's happening in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Iraq, in America, Europe, Africa, and which part of the world it is not happening. Asia also. How much of oppression? So there's no country in the world that there's no such oppression. However, what we have to now look at is that how much of zulm we are doing in our own homes. How much of zulm and injustice the employees are doing upon the employers. How much of injustice the employers are doing upon the employees. As I mentioned in one bayan in Steinger, and as I have no fear in mentioning these kind of things, because alhamdulillah, I do not go to the shops for donation and collection. But nevertheless, if we have to look at it, so many hundreds of thousands of rands are being distributed. Charities, charities, charities. And again, there's no doubt that we have to give charities. But some people are giving in millions and hundreds of thousands. The moment some big Maulana Sahib comes with a book, then the bigger the donation. And we are giving away millions outside our countries. And yet we can see here just around us, just look into our neighborhood, just look into our societies, just look into our localities. There are how many of them where the people are being paid those same meager salaries after 15 years and 20 years of service. Some are still earning the same 2,000 rand and 1,500 rand. And they have to pay 1,200 and 1,300 for a two-room house. Yet we will give hundreds of thousands of rands with charity. We will ask the government, what is the minimum salary that we can give to our maids? What is the minimum? In other words, we are asking the minimum so that we give them the bare minimum, even though they may starve and they may be suffering. So I'm not talking about those people who are just trying to give some kind of employment to people and give them some kind of job at least. I'm talking about those who are giving away hundreds of thousands in charities. Then please make a decision today. At least ask your employees that what is their condition? How many children do they have? In what condition they are living? We must find out that. We must not just look at the bare minimum and then pay according to that. There may be one young person, he's working quite long, but he's not married, he's got no children, and the only thing that he uses his salary for is cinemas, theatres and discos. So he's not going to be the same as the person who's got five children, six children, he's got a home, he's got to send them to school, he's got rent, light, water bills to pay. At such a time, you'll get more reward, more sawab, if you have to spend that money locally, select or go out, seek out those people who are suffering in this manner. And the easiest way is those people who are employed, find out more about them and assist and help them. Wallah, you will get more sawab, more reward. That reward you won't get by giving away the hundreds of thousands other places. And in the meantime, you are getting the curses of those very people who have been employed by you, who have worked hard to make those millions for you. Take this lesson seriously. Start asking, start looking. Then you see how those employees will start loving you. At present, we are complaining that our staff don't love us. They speak bad about us. The maids don't love us. This one doesn't love us. Nobody loves us. Why don't they love us? Because we are not fulfilling their rights. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given their share into our possession. And now we must make sure that we are providing for them according to that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us, according to our capacity. And I give a simple example that it is not even necessary sometimes to give plenty of money. Every day we are loading our boots and returning home with so much of fruit and vegetable and biscuits and cakes and chocolates and what we bring. What is there when at the end of the day we take a little bit of all those things, put it into a packet, and when the maid is going home, we say, take this for your children. They will also enjoy a little bit of this chocolate and this biscuit. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be happy. They will be happy. So this is another point. Now I can go into detail, but there's no time. I'm just giving you some pointers. The third thing is that there's plenty of circulation of rumors and so much of scandal and so much of mischief and so much of fitnas that we just can't imagine. So at such a time now it becomes the duty of every Muslim that don't rush into circulation of rumors and hearsay kind of stories. Most of the time that these stories which reach us, they don't even have any depth. They don't even have any truth. There is no justification in us passing it on. But the moment we have just heard something, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is sufficient for a person to be a liar if he just has to pass on anything and everything that he has just heard. There's no verification at all. And so many times we are just doing what we may term as a judgment we are making by the media. We have already made judgment by listening to the media. And that yet that person may be innocent. So we are going to extremes. Yes, if it is an authentic story and there is a need for it to be circulated, then you circulate it. But just anything and everything that appears in a newspaper, anything that appears on the internet, then straight away we go to town with publications, and after 2 days, 10 days, 20 days, then we say that, apologize, we are sorry, that article was just a bogus one. So imagine the amount of harm that it has done. Therefore, the Quran Sharif tells us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahalah fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. So we must learn to verify, ask, find out, is it true, ascertain the truth, thereafter you can pass it on. So scandals and mischief, this is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hates and detests. And it creates so much of fitnas in the society. Things are just happening. People just pass on stories and then marriages are breaking up. And so much of other fitnas are taking place. There's no time to go into details. Then again, if we look at another story which is an authentic story, therefore I relate it. And I always say that those incidents which I mentioned, it's if I have dealt with them personally in most cases, then only I mention them. And if it is for the benefit of people, then I mention them without mentioning the name. Only that person knows and I know, whoever has written that letter to me. But because I received a number of letters of this sort, on the day of Eid, in this Eidgah I am telling you, number of letters, it's not one, number of letters of this kind. Therefore I am bringing it to your attention. And alhamdulillah, when I mentioned it in Stanger, number of brothers said we have thrown the TV out of our house. So don't argue on the basis of the advantages and the benefits and how much of knowledge we can gain from it. We all know what the contents are. And I've repeatedly said that I cannot be against the box and nobody can be against box. We need boxes for packaging. We need plenty of boxes. So nobody can be against the box. But what's coming on that box? The person says that after watching a certain film, remember these words, after watching a certain film, immediately the desire came into my heart to shoot my father. I took the gun. I opened the door because my father and mother, they sleep with the door little open. I opened the door. I pointed the gun to my father's head. And then suddenly one of your bayans which I heard. Now this person doesn't attend the programs or anything, but one bayan he says somewhere he heard. And that flashed across my sight. And after that I withdrew and I went into my room. Otherwise I was going to shoot my father and then I was going to shoot myself. A person from the 17th floor of a building in Johannesburg, the wife says 2 o'clock in the morning he got up, or 2 o'clock in the morning he suddenly gets me up, she was sleeping, and says, right, forgive me, I'm jumping from the 17th floor, I'm jumping now, so forgive me, that's the end of it, and we'll meet on Qiyamah Day. She said, but what's wrong with you? We've got no marital problem, we've got no financial problem, what is wrong with you? He says, I don't know, I'm just wanting to jump now. And he was watching some film, and after he must have seen some Superman jumping, so therefore he decided to jump from the 17th floor. Allah Ta'ala saved him. She put him off. Whilst I was mentioning this incident, I received a letter. And the brother said, you can mention this incident from Stanger. You can go and ask him. So he says that, Maulana, when you mentioned about children shooting their fathers, then at that time I did not understand. But after listening to you, then we realized that we were taking it as a big joke that we have a 4-year-old child and he is glued to the television. He's all the time on the television. So he tells his mother, a 4-year-old child, Ma, I'll cut your head off. I'll chop your head. I'll hang you by the window and I will shoot you. And he says, he knows exactly where my gun is. Today is the day, he says, I'm making up my mind to throw this TV out of my house. I don't wish to be shot. Exactly what is happening in America, in Europe and all other parts of the world, where they made little children mad in their heads that now they want to shoot the father, shoot the mother, throttle the sister, shoot the teacher. Now all these little children, why are they doing these things? What is making them do it? Why it was not happening all these years? So it is definitely nothing but what they are watching. And I can give you a whole list of things. That incident of that young girl. And she is saying, after watching that certain film, and she gives me the names of the actors and actresses, she says, I get this intense desire to commit incest with my father every time that he walks in. Are we still going to wait for some children to shoot, or some children to hang, or some children to chop off the necks? Are we still going to wait and say, no, there's a lot of benefit, a lot of advantage? So let us take some lessons. How long are we going to just listen? And if it is for our enjoyment and our own nafs and our own pleasures, then remain. Then await the day that will come. Await the day it's going to come when you will hold your heads and cry if you are going to keep them glued in that way to the television sets. It is happening now. Look at this young child of 4 years. He says, I'll chop your neck off and I'll hang you by the window. Now, we don't want this kind of things to happen. And the same thing that Americans have done, that now they have introduced 300 movies a month in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. 300 movies a month. Read the article. The new channels are going to bring in 300 Hollywood movies and other movies a month. And they say, now at least the people of Saudi Arabia can sit back and enjoy the films. So they want to do the same thing there too. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort got rid of all crime from Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's efforts and his sacrifices and his teaching and the Quran and the Sunnah brought about such a society in Madinah Sharif and in Makkah Sharif and in Arabia and wherever they went. Such a society that there was no killing left, no murders left, no rape left, no arson left, no nothing, a fulfillment of rights of everybody. Peace, happiness, tranquility and contentment. Now they want to do the same thing what they are doing in their countries. They want to introduce it to the Muslim countries. It's already happening. So let us on this day, there are so many other points that were coming to my mind, but time has expired, therefore I am making dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lessons. That let us be just and fair to everybody, in our homes, our wives, our children, our parents, our maids, our employees, whoever they are. And for the employees also, we must not think that only the employers are unjust. Many a time the employees are so unjust also. So whoever is doing any kind of injustice, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shakes up that community in which there's tremendous amount of injustice. May Allah ta'ala protect us from that. May Allah ta'ala make this day of Eid a very happy and a prosperous and a joyous one. May Allah ta'ala unite all the families in happiness. And the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala must give them happiness and remove their suffering and difficulties wherever they may be. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث او ماي بلوود الله او ماي رحيم الله او ماي كريم الله او ماي موست فورجيفينج الله موست كومباشنيت الله موست لافينج الله موست كيرينج الله ها او ماي موست بيوتيفول الله You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. My beloved Allah, on this Mubarak day of Eid, on this Mubarak day of Eid, after having completed the Mubarak month of Ramadan, my beloved Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. We are extending our begging bowls before you. You have attached these begging bowls to our bodies so that we may extend them before you any part of the day and night. Ya Allah, you are listening. You are seeing us. You are aware of every action of ours. You are even aware of the thoughts that are crossing our minds. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. From the time we became of age up till now, we have used your bounties for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, so much of haram we have seen with our eyes. So much of haram we have heard with our ears. So much of haram we have spoken with our tongues. So much of haram we have touched with our hands. So much of haram places we have walked with our feet. My beloved Allah, but how loving you are. How caring you are, how tolerant you are. In spite of all our sins, you are still giving us so much to eat and drink and wear and travel around. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. We are not justifying any of our sins. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not advertising our sins. We are not propagating our sins. We are ashamed. May Allah forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, there was no question of darkness for you. You who bless billions of people with sight, how can you be blind to our actions and our deeds? You could have seized us there and then. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have brought humiliation, suffering and disgrace upon us there and then. Oh my beloved Allah, but how tolerant you are, how merciful you are, how forgiving you are. On this Mubarak day of Eid, we are asking you to open up the floodgates of your maghfirat for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems that mankind is facing around the globe. Ya Allah, we know because of our sins everyone is suffering. O my beloved Allah, forgive us and remove the sufferings of mankind. Ya Allah, change the conditions of drought, change the conditions of famine, change the conditions of floods. Ya Allah, change the conditions of adversity wherever it may be to that of prosperity. Ya Allah, remove all the hardships, the difficulties and the problems of mankind. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. On this Mubarak day of Eid, my beloved Allah, make a decision of change for us. Ah, my beloved Allah, how long are you going to keep us distant from you? How long are you going to keep us distant from you? Ya Allah, give us a taste of the sweetness of Iman. Ya Allah, give us such a bond with you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. My beloved Allah, put the hatred of sins into our hearts. My beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours, but do not seize us on account of our sins. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness, then who do we go to, my Allah? There is no other door that we can tap. There is no other home that we can beg. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. My beloved Allah, if a dog is chased from one butcher, it can go to another. If a beggar is chased from one home, he can go to another. But if you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness from us, then my beloved Allah will be destroyed. We'll be destroyed in this world. There'll be destruction in the qabr and destruction in the akhirat. My Allah, there is no one for us besides you. Hamare hal par raham farma. You have given men, oh my beloved Allah, they have invented the computer chip. It records millions of pieces of information. But just one press of the delete button and no information is left on that chip. My beloved Allah, press the delete button of our sins. Hamare gunahon ke upar delete button daba de. Mere pyare Allah, mere Rahim Kareem Allah, if you are not going to shower your mercy on us on this Mubarak day, when else can we seek your mercy and forgiveness? My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. You have given man the intelligence and the science of transplanting of hearts. Ya Allah, our hearts have passed the stage of bypass also. Ya Allah, we need a spiritual heart transplant. May Allah, with your hukam, transplant a spiritually sound heart into our bodies. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma, dil badal de. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, our hearts are filled with all the evil. Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance. Our hearts are filled with jealousy, with envy. Our hearts are filled with evil passions and desires. Ah, my beloved Allah, what have we made of our hearts? We have made our hearts into garbage bins. But oh my beloved Allah, purify our souls. Purify our souls. Oh my beloved Allah, fill your muhabbat into our hearts. Give us such muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it becomes extremely easy to do everything pleasing to you and to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Oh my beloved Allah, who is not suffering from any kind of ailments and sickness and disease? My beloved Allah, cure everyone who is sick and ailing, whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes, or they are amongst us, or they are listening over the receivers or the station. Ya Allah, bless them with complete shifa. My beloved Allah, bless them with complete shifa. Don't test us, my Allah. We know sometimes sicknesses, diseases, poverty, and all these type of things can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But we are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Allah, don't test us. My beloved Allah, don't test us. Ya Allah, change the condition of the ummah. Bless us all with prosperity. Bless us with happiness. Bless us with contentment. Bless us with satisfaction. Bless us with barakat in our sustenance. Barakat in our businesses. Barakat in our homes. Barakat in our lives. Barakat in our time. Barakat in our wealth. Barakat in every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Oh my beloved Allah, barakat has left our lives. Barakat has left our wealth. Ya Allah, protect us and safeguard us from haram. Protect us and safeguard us from haram. Give us the tawfiq to pray 5 times a day. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fast in Ramadan, to give zakat if due, to go for hajj if farz, to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our wives, our family members, our society, both Muslim and non-Muslim. Ya Allah, many non-Muslims are our neighbors. Many non-Muslims are our clients. Many non-Muslims deal and trade with us. Ya Allah, let us fulfill the rights of every person, whether he is a Muslim or non-Muslim. There are so many non-Muslims who are poor and suffering. Ya Allah, we are Muslims. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of everyone. Ya Allah, protect us and safeguard us from adultery, from fornication, from drinking, from gambling, and from all kinds of sins and vices. My beloved Allah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he is informed that that ummah for whom you cried so much, that ummah for whom your blood was shed on so many places, that ummah for whom you were stoned in Taif so much that your shoes became filled with your Mubarak blood, that ummah for whom you were stoned in Uhud, you fall down unconscious, that ummah for whom you were dragged, that ummah for whom you stand whole night in prayers, that ummah for whom you were boycotted and ostracized for 3 solid years, where the time came to chew leather and eat leaves of trees for survival. My beloved Allah, when he is informed that that ummah in discos and cinemas and rave clubs and theatres and drugs and vices and evils, how much of pain and injury it is causing to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, when he is informed that a few meters away from your Rauza Mubarak, a few meters away from your resting place, the filthiest of music can be heard, the filthiest of films can be seen in the hotel rooms, and the filthiest of films can be seen in the foyers. Ya Allah, when he is informed that the filthiest of music is now being played at your very Rauza Mubarak on the cell phones, ha, my Allah, he who came to destroy musical instruments, we are playing the same music at his Rauza Mubarak, and in the Haram Sharif, we download those musical tones, and then we play them in those haram places. In those places, Ya Allah, that haram music we play, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, in such Mubarak places, we play such kind of music. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq. Change the thinking of ours. Change our thinking, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, change our thinking. Ya Allah, change our views. Change our styles of life. Ya Allah, make us do those things that are pleasing to you. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirat. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of my beloved Allah, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's so much of division, disunity. Ya Allah, we know that it is all being created because of our actions and deeds, because of our non-fulfillment of the rights of others, and because of the injustices that are prevailing in our homes and in our businesses and other places. Ya Allah, change the condition of our lives. Make us just and fair in everything that we do. May Ya Allah bless us with honesty and truthfulness. Bless us with sincerity. Bless us with charity. Bless us with nobility. Bless us with a life of taqwa. Bless us with a life of shukr. Ya Allah, bless us with a life that is pleasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make them nek and saleh. Ya Allah, those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them wealth. Ya Allah, remove the suffering, the hardship, the problems that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, protect our masajid. Protect all the institutions of deen. Protect all the works of deen. Bless each and everyone who is engaged in the work of deen with ikhlas in all their amal and in their actions. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have to die. We have to leave this world and go one day. My Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the time of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was unbelievable that an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam could die in a haram action and a haram place. Ya Allah, thousands are dying in adultery, in fornication, at the escort agencies, at the prostitute quarters. Thousands are dying in cinemas, in theatres, in discos and in rave clubs. Ya Allah, thousands are dying in all kinds of haram action. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, which we don't know when it is going to come, when the angel of death is going to strike the sword on our necks and extract the soul from every part and every limb of our body. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, in stealing, in fornication, in cheating, in fraud, or any kind of haram activity. Ya Allah, don't let him find us glued to some filthy movie. Don't let him find us reading some filthy magazine. When the time of our death comes, oh my beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Take us to Madina Tayyibah. At the Rauza Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With as salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As salatu was salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As salatu was salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Ya Allah, let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Oh my beloved Allah, if it is not destined there wherever it may be,
Let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Koi mujhse puche ve kya maangta hu, ve apne khuda se khuda maangta hu, wo ho jaye mera ve ho jao uska, yahi raat din mein dua maangta hu. Koi mujhse puche ve kya maangta hu, ve apne khuda se khuda maangta hu, wo ho jaye mera ve ho jao uska, yahi raat din mein dua maangta hu. Ya Allah, if somebody asks me, what am I seeking? Ya Allah, I'm seeking you, from you. Become ours, then everything will be ours. If you are not ours, nothing will be ours. If you are ours, the children will be coolness of our eyes. Our homes will give us barakat. Ya Allah, our businesses will give us barakat. Our homes will give us comfort. Everything will work in our favor. If you are not our side, Ya Allah, nothing will work in our favor. Change the conditions around the world, my beloved Allah. Give hidayat to the rulers of the Muslim government to rule in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us. How much he cried for us. How much of love and sympathy and affection and compassion he had for his ummah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida, with his 124,000 companions, each and every one of them with a purified heart. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the duas that he made after kissing the Hajr Aswad, the duas that he made in the Mataf, the duas that he made in the Hatim, the duas that he made at the Multazam, how much he teared at the Multazam. Ya Allah, the duas that he made behind the Muqam Ibrahim, the duas that he made after drinking Zamzam, the duas that he made on Safa and Marwa, the duas that he made in Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, the entire ummah with that goodness, and from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we haven't done justice to the month of Ramadan. We have been very negligent and heedless, my Allah. Ya Allah, but still accept the fast that we have kept. Accept our tilawat. Accept our zikr. Ya Allah, accept the zikr, tilawat, ibadat of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the wishes, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who have raised their hands this part on this Mubarak day of Eid. Ya Allah, we cannot ask for everyone. We do not know each person's individual desires. We do not know each person's individual aspirations. Ya Allah, whatever aspiration, desire and wish is in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, then fulfill those wishes and those desires. Ya Allah, fulfill those wishes and those desires. Those students who are writing examinations, give them success. Make them assets for our communities. Protect them from the fitnas at the universities, colleges and institutions. Ya Allah, give the ummah the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke sadqe mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Ab jaise bhi hai, qubool farma. Hum gande hai, qubool farma. Hum nalayak hai, qubool farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع الحليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.